Colony Lake, copy of God's Word here. Whilst I was fasting in, Word of God, written the New Testament of the Bible, offered to you quite freely. You're simply for the taking. It's like one, and do feel free to come and ask for one. This is the Word of God, and of course, only place where you find the Word of God is in the Bible. So, offer to you. You would like a copy too. Feel free to come and ask for one. In the Bible, in God's Word, Jesus, well, if you want to find His Word, you want to find what Jesus has to say about Himself, and what He has to say about other people too, you know, like yourself. And of course, what Jesus is able to do for you, you must please turn to His Word, to the Holy Bible, that is. But of course, more clearly, in the Gospels, as we call them, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there you have the direct speech of the Lord Jesus. And you'll find Him addressing all manner of people. People who come to Him with all kinds of problems. And of course, well, His counsel to them is the same as, well, He gives you today. Just the same, only believe, He says, trust in God, through Him that is, Jesus. And of course, if you can't believe, everything is possible to the one, the person who believes. So read, if you will, read the words of Jesus and see perhaps what He would say to you. He has words, of course, that He speaks quite stern. You know, religious people who thought that because of their religious activity, because of their religious doings, they thought that they were bound for heaven. And he says the very opposite. He says, woe unto you. He said, you'll be cast down into the very depths of hell. Because their religion, you see, was just an empty shell. Their religion was just a charade. It was hypocrisy. And he said to the religious leaders of his day, he called them hypocrites. And of course, he had very stern words to speak to such, because they were not only refusing to obey God themselves, but they were hindering and they were keeping other people from obeying God and entering the kingdom of God. But this, my friend, this is what religion, human religion, man's religion, is always doing. Always, my friend, because even today, the same Phariseeism that Jesus curses in the Bible, you see alive and well, you know, in your world today. You see it blatantly obvious in Islam. I mean, look at Afghanistan. That's the state of their hearts, my friend. That's what's coming out of their hearts. And they say, they claim that they are doing it in God's name. And then, of course, well, you know, just the charade, you know, long prayers made for a pretense that never go higher than the living room ceiling. Dead orthodox, legalistic human religion that's no good to man nor beast, that doesn't bring the blessing of God. How does a woman get the blessing of God? Well, through faith in the Son of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, Alone, I say to you, alone, no other way and no other mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus, he talks about those who are blessed, those who have received the favor of God, those that is, whom God has breathed upon, the breath of life, those whom God has raised from the dead, those whom God, according to his sovereign will, has raised, my friends, raised from the dead and put life into their souls, eternal life. And my friend, brought them to faith, to believe, to trust in the Son of God, that they might have life in his name, and that they might know the blessing, the comfort, the consolation, the joy of knowing God and knowing him through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, my friend, that we declare to you here today, this afternoon, once again, in Walsall. So Jesus says, blessed, and the word blessing means the favor of God, the acceptance with God, a right standing with God, the love of God, the joy unspeakable, and of course, well, the peace of God that passes all understanding. These things, these are the blessings of God, my friend, that he bestows upon those. Hiya, how are you doing? Have a good day? Good. The blessings of God, my friends, that God bestows upon his people who trust in him through his Son, Jesus Christ. No other way by which a man, a woman can come to God. So he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poverty of spirit, you know, the opposite to the pride and the arrogance of the world. Poor in spirit, my friends, humble-minded, and knowing that you cannot do the thing yourself, that you need God's help through his Son, Jesus Christ. Only way, my friend, only way up, you see, to God, that is down first. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Then he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who mourn over their sins, those who are sorrowful and sad because they've offended God's law, offended God's love, they've offended God himself, and they mourn because of this. They're sorrowful, but they shall be comforted, says Jesus, because Jesus came for such, to reconcile them to God, to deal with their sin in a way, my friends, that no one else can, because he alone died for sinners. He alone died on the cross, my friend. Buddha didn't do that for men. The popes of Rome don't do that for men. Muhammad didn't do that for men. Only Jesus Christ died for sinners. He's the only way out of the mourning and into that blessed state of comfort that only Jesus can bring to you. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. And now today he says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed, happy, joyful, comforted, at peace, inheritors of the earth and the kingdom of God. Blessed, the favor of God, my friend, belongs to those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Let me ask you today, how is your diet? What do you hunger and thirst after besides burgers and ice cream? What are your hungers and your thirst, your desires? Is it for the alehouse? Or maybe perhaps for drugs in your name? Or maybe the shopping and shopping until you're dropping? Materialism, hunger for riches, hunger for this world, hunger for many, many things, hunger for things that a man, a woman ought not to desire, ought not to hunger and thirst after. Maybe perhaps for you it's the other sex, or maybe for you it's the same sex. My friends, oh my friends, things that men and women ought not to desire, things that bring ruin to them, that ruin their soul, that bring them, my friends, bring them to ruin in their bodies, in their minds, and in their souls as well. Ruin them eternally. If, unless, of course, by the grace of God, those desires, that hunger and thirsting is not changed and channeled in the right direction. But blessed, says Jesus, favored of God, are those who hunger, those who desire, those who pant after, those who thirst after. Righteousness, my friend. Righteousness. The righteousness of God, of course, because your righteousness, all your righteousnesses, says God, they're like filthy rags, my friend. No, you cannot. Oh, you cannot, I tell you, in that day, when you will stand before God and give account and judgment, oh, you cannot, you dare not stand before God clothed in your own righteousness. That's like filthy rags. That's like a menstrual cloth, says the Lord Jesus Christ. No, my friends, there's another righteousness, one that doesn't belong to you. And it's the righteousness of God. It's a perfect righteousness that alone gets you a pass on judgment day. That alone gets you into heaven. That alone gets you into the kingdom of God. That alone gets you into the favor of God. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That, my friend, that should be the desire of your heart. That should be what you hunger after. That's what you should be thirsting after. The righteousness of God that comes to a person, to a man or woman, through faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. God's measure of righteousness. Oh, maybe perhaps you claim you would say, like the majority of the populace of Walsall today, you would say, I'm okay, thank you. I'm a good person, you would say. I'm a respectable person. I keep a clean house, you say. And maybe perhaps you're even religious with it. Maybe perhaps you would say, I go to the mosque every Friday for prayer. Eh? Or I go to the Pope's house every Sunday. Eh? A smattering of religion upon it. Outward religion, you know? Legalistic religion on the outside. And you say, I'm okay. I have God's favor. I am a righteous person. No. My friends, the righteousness that Jesus, that he's talking about, is the righteousness, righteous by God's standard. And what is God's standard? Well, you can find it summarized in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If the God of the Bible, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not your God, then, my friends, you have another God. Yourself, maybe, or maybe perhaps the dictates and principles of Islam, or maybe perhaps you bow the knee to the Pope of Rome. My friends, false religion, idolatrous religion, thou shalt have no other gods before me, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. That God. That's God's standard of righteousness. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. not just to take time off on a Sunday, but to keep it holy unto God and for the glory of God. That's God's standard of righteousness. He says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill by means of abortion or by means of euthanasia, by any means, doing violence. Violence, my friend. Have you got one of those religions that's full of violence? Huh? Stalking the world, violating people who disagree with your false, idolatrous religion? That's your religion? That's your false religion? Well, you're not righteous in the eyes of God, and you're not blessed. You do not have the favor of God, I tell you. God's standard of righteousness, not yours, and not the dictates of your poisonous, blasphemous, idolatrous religion. No. Thou shalt not kill, says God. In the name of your religion, or in the name of the NHS, or in the name of abortion, thou shalt not kill, says God. That's God's standard of righteousness. Even, I tell you, even subscribing to a murderous religion, you stand guilty. You stand guilty by association of their murder, rape, and child abuse. Get out of it, says God. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And I will receive you and be a father and a God to you and make a covenant of friendship with you. Then you'll be blessed through faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So you see, God's standard of righteousness, different to yours, much different to yours. Thou shalt not commit adultery, he said. That's every form of sexual immorality known to you. And then some more. Not just sex, you know. It was somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. But my friend, the whole nine yards. Fornication. Adultery. Sodomy. Lesbianism. My friend, that's God's standard of righteousness. And even to subscribe to these things, as do your modern day politicians, statesmen. Huh? They've never done with the adultery. They're the ones who have brought the mess of sodomy and lesbianism upon you, so that your children, your young people are totally obsessed with it. That's not the righteousness of God. That brings the judgment and the wrath of God upon a people, a nation, not the blessing of God. You need to repent of that, my friend. And you need to turn to God in order to receive the blessing, the favor of God, through faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not cheat. Thou shalt not bear false testimony. Lie. Tell lies, my friend. Every single lie you've ever told, the smallest to the greatest, leaves you in a damnable state and condition. And why you need to see the righteousness of God? Because the righteousness of God is a perfect righteousness. He'll settle for nothing less. Utter perfection to the uttermost is what God will require of you on the day of judgment. Anything less than that, your God, hell, damnation awaits you. Not the blessing of God, but the curse of God remains upon you. So you need another righteousness. You need the righteousness of God. But hang around and find out how you can obtain the righteousness of God. Blessed, favored are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteousness of God, for they shall be filled. It's God's judgment. It's God's verdict, my friend. And as he looks upon you today, what is his verdict? What is God's judgment upon you? When God looks at you, and he's not just looking at the outside, he's not looking at the t-shirt, he's not looking at your trainers, he's not looking at your Gucci and your Armani, he's looking at your heart. What does he see in your heart? Huh? When God looks upon your heart, God looks upon the heart. It's your heart that he's concerned with. Because out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. That's where the murderous religion comes from. Out of men's heart. That's where all the murder and mayhem comes from. That's where all the destruction of the world comes from. That's where the immorality, the indecency, that's where the blasphemy, that's where the lies come from. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts of Jesus. And those evil thoughts of yours, they turn into evil actions. But when God looks at your heart, what does he see there? And what does he see? What's his verdict? What's his judgment upon your heart? And what does he see coming out of your heart? Words of blasphemy against Jesus. What does he see? Thoughts of immorality, of indecency, pornographic thoughts even. Thoughts of pedophilia, perhaps, maybe, of murder and killing. Oh, you see, my friend, God's judgment, not what man thinks of you. It doesn't matter what your fellow man thinks of you. Oh, your friends, your family will tell you, do not worry, you're a good person, you're a nice person, we love you, you're okay, they will tell you. And the majority, the most of your religions in your world and in your nation today will tell you the same thing. You're okay, you're fine, you're good to go, they'll tell you. But that's not God's judgment. That's not God's verdict. What's God's judgment upon your heart? What does he see? And what does he declare? Ungodly, unrighteous, unholy, filthy rags, won't even look upon them, so unclean. But you see, my friends, the righteousness of God, perfection of heart, and perfection of life, all together to the uttermost. Perfection, my friend, is what God requires. And what man is there, born as a woman, that can possibly offer perfection to God? Well, not you, and certainly not I. That's for sure. So how on earth does a person get, a person who desires, who hungers and thirsts after the righteousness of God, where does he go to get such? To Jesus, Son of God, faith in him, to trust in him, my friends. That's the answer. You see, it's God's acquittal that you need. Not the preacher's, not mine, not my colleagues, and not anybody else's in this world. It matters not even if the government acquits you. There was a time in the land, not too long ago, just a few short years ago, when doing the sodomy and lesbianism would have got you into jail. You'd have been locked up for it. But now, of course, well, the government of the day acquits you of such. But God doesn't acquit you of it. Huh? If the government, Mr. Johnson might tell you, it's okay to do those filthy things. Mr. Johnson, he'll just give you one of his foolish smiles and tells you, it's okay, it doesn't matter, we've legislated for it. You can do the adultery, you can fornicate, sodomize, lesbianize, you can do all that. We acquit you. But God doesn't. But God doesn't. He doesn't acquit you. He holds you guilty to a man, to a woman. Because you belong to a sodomite society. You belong to an evil and wicked society. Where sin, my friends, is not only legislated for, but my friends, is practiced to the nth degree. So you see, my friends, God does not acquit you. Only one way that God would ever acquit you, and that is when you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Faith in the Son of God, immediately, I tell you, brings the acquittal of God, brings the favor, brings the blessing of God, the comfort of God, the kingdom of God. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only answer, my friend, the only way back to God from the dark path of sin. You can no more justify yourself. You can no more put yourself right than you can pull yourself up by your bootlaces, son. An impossibility. You need Jesus, and you need Him more, I tell you, than you need to breathe. So you see, my friend, such a denial, such, my friend, as a self-acquittal, you coming to the decision, you coming to the place where you say, I don't need this, I'm okay. I'm okay, I'm not a sinner. I haven't offended God. I'm not unrighteous, I'm not unholy. My friend, such would be a denial of the very kind of which God speaks to you, speaks against you about, my friend, and are an evidence all over your nation, your society, and your own personal life. Full of filthiness, my friend. Filthiness in your heart. Hearts that are poisoned, diseased, deceitful and desperately wicked, says God. That He alone can mend. That He alone, my friends, can deal with and bring you into and under the blessing of Himself, my friend, and be filled and be satisfied. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But oh, there is, I must tell you, there is the possibility of righteousness, because God Himself has provided the necessary righteousness in His Son Jesus Christ. In the life particularly, Jesus, living that life that you ought to have lived but do not and cannot. Jesus, my friend, the sinless Son of God, who never ever sinned, not in thought, not in word, not in deed, not in action, no omissions and no commissions. The perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ, and who went to the cross to die in the place of sinners, rise again from the dead, in order that sinners, criminals before God, like you, might be reconciled to God, justified, declared righteous in the eyes of God. You see, it's a declaration, it's a pronouncement that God makes upon the sinner who truly trusts and believes in Jesus. That moment that the sinner truly believes, that moment God grants the pardon, grants release from the sin, His judgment, His wrath, and His displeasure, and brings that sinner into the blessing The blessing of God. The favor of God, my friend. Obtained. Obtained. Not by your effort. Not by your religiosity. Not by your supposed respectability. But my friends, as a result of what somebody else has done in your place. Jesus, the Son of God, He's done it all. Tried from the cross, it is finished. I've done it. And my friend, trusting only trusting in Him and Jesus Christ, there God credits you with the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. A gift, my friend, a gift. Not of merit, not deserved, undeserved, my friend. Simply and only given, a gracious gift of God, the righteousness, my friend, that enables a man, a woman to stand before God in that day of judgment. Because Jesus, and only Jesus, man, nobody else in all this world, only Jesus met the demands of God's law. Only He fulfilled the law of God, perfect to the uttermost. Only He, my friend. You and I, all of us together, we're lawbreakers. We haven't kept the law of God. Cannot, my friend. Impossible. Conceived in sin, born in sin, come into the world shaped in iniquity, formed in lawlessness, and you live in that lawlessness, broken every one of God's demands of His law, and guilty, damnable, I tell you, damnable, state and condition, without Jesus Christ, the one, my friend, who has met all the demands of God's law, and trusting Him, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that righteousness of His is given to you, a grace gift. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for the righteousness of Jesus. All that Jesus earned, all that Jesus worked for, all that Jesus performed and gives to those, gives I say, undeservedly, gives to those who will trust in Him, who will believe in Him, so that God looks upon you from that point onwards as though you yourself had met all the demands of God's law. What a deal, what a transgression, my friend. And He did so in the place of sinners. Astonishing, I tell you, amazing, that the Son of God, and He is, Jesus is the Son of God. Even the demons, confess, testify that Jesus is the Son of God. But the members of Islam can't see that. They're blind to what the devils can see. That Jesus is the Son of God. And then He stepped out into this world, this sin-cursed world, to do this. To perform this righteousness. To go to the cross to die and rise again in order, my friend, that His righteousness might be accredited to them. Jesus, He did this in the place of sinners. That through faith, through trusting, believing, only believing, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Salvation, you say, from sin, from your unrighteousness, unholiness, ungodliness. Salvation comes. My friend, the Bible, God makes it absolutely clear. No flesh shall ever be justified in His sight by the works of the law, but only by faith. the righteousness of faith, not the righteousness of the law, not the righteousness of religion, the righteousness of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That, my friends, that's what brings salvation, the blessing, the favor, the friendship of God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after this righteousness. They shall be filled. And then, my friend, all this, God Himself, He declares the verdict. He pronounces the verdict. And He looks upon this sinner who has trusted in His Son, in His lovely Son, Jesus. He looks upon that sinner, heart and life, and He pronounces that sinner not just not guilty, but righteous, altogether righteousness, just as if they had never, ever sinned in all their lives, their sin taken so far away that not even God Himself can find it any longer. Through believing, trusting, faith, my friend, confiding with faith towards the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness by faith, the favor of God by faith, the blessing of God by faith. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled, satisfied, fully, completely. The filling, my friend, the desire to be right. Oh, that you had it, the desire to be right with God. What do you desire this morning? What did you come out here into the marketplace for today? What were your desires? And what are your desires now? Would, my friends, would, I pray to God for you, would that you desired, that you hungered, and that you thirsted to be right with God above everything and anything else. Nothing, I tell you, more important than you've been right with God, because soon you're going to stop breathing. Soon He's going to take your breath away. Soon He's going to take you away out of this world to stand before the judgment throne of God. And if you're not right, if you haven't got right, my friends, you're going to be in serious bother. He's going to discard you. He's going to throw you away. He's going to throw you in great wrath and anger. He's going to cast you into hell forever. If you're not right, righteous that is, before God. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, that desire, that do desire after righteousness. They shall be filled, my friend. Their righteousness shall be fulfilled. The moment that faith kicks in, the moment, my friends, that trust kicks in, the moment that you come to that cross of my Lord Jesus Christ and you gaze there in humble faith, you gaze upon the Son of God and you come to this conclusion, by the grace of God, of course, you come to this conclusion, truly this was the Son of God. And the moment, I tell you, the moment that trust, the moment that faith, the moment that true belief kicks in, that very moment, that same instant, instantaneously, The righteousness of God becomes yours. And you're fulfilled. You're fulfilled in the righteousness of God. And in that same moment, beneath that cross, God the Father judges the judges that. He brings down the gavel and he declares, he brings in the verdict, he brings in the judgment. He says, not guilty. He says, righteous, altogether righteous, just like my Son. Through faith in his Son, through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who desire, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And then in that day when the final verdict comes in that day when the Son of God appears from heaven to judge the world in righteousness, in that day, my friends, when God judges you, judges all mankind, and he picks you out of the line, he picks you out of the crowd, and he brings you forward to his judgment throne, and you look up to him, you look upon him with fear and dread, but because you have trusted in his Son, Jesus Christ, he says, righteous, righteous, well done, my good and faithful servant. Because of faith, my friend, because of faith, full of faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, clear, exonerated, declared righteous, God's verdict, God's judgment alone is the one that matters. Every contrite, every believing sinner, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, is filled, is satisfied with the righteousness of God. Because it's a complete righteousness. It's an altogether righteousness. It's an everlasting righteousness. God gives it and he never takes it away. Everlasting righteousness through Jesus the Son of God and faith in his name. Believing, trusting in the Son of God, my friend. Every contrite and believing sinner in Jesus, fully satisfied with the righteousness of God, because it's a righteousness that will enable you to stand before God in the judgment without fear, without dread, without terror. But you continue to hunger and thirst after this world, after the flesh, after your sin, after your lawlessness, after your idolatry, satisfied with your religious progress, satisfied with your own respectability, satisfied with your own standards, in that day when he judges you, that will be a terrifying day. Your worst nightmare will only just have begun. You need the righteousness of God. And you need by the grace of God. You need by the grace of God to be brought to this place of hungering and thirsting after the righteousness of God. Because man doesn't desire it naturally. You don't come into the world desiring righteousness. You don't come into the world naturally desiring to be right with God. The very opposite. Hating God and hating your neighbor. God, by his grace, must change, my friend. Change you on the inside. Change your desire. Take the filthy lusts out of your heart and give your good desires. And give you, my friend, to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God. Oh, my friend Jesus, the mighty Son of God. Blessed he said of thee that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled, satisfied, my friend, with everlasting righteousness, escaping the torments of hell, the abode, the eternal abode of the unrighteous, of the goats who go to the left, but the sheep who go to the right, those for whom Christ died, that they might be given. He died to purchase righteousness for them. He died to purchase the gift of God for them. He died and he rose again from the dead, my friend, in order that righteousness might be yours through faith, through believing, trusting in him. Go today to Mount Calvary. Go today to the cross. Bring your sins, bring your unrighteousnesses. Bring them to the cross and leave them there. Let Jesus take them away with his blood. Wash you and make you clean. Make you fit for God. Fit for living. Fit for heaven one day. But without the righteousness of God, without his righteousness, without the gift, my friends, of God's righteousness, you'll die in your sin, perishing now, perishing in mind, body and soul, perishing now, but soon to perish for all eternity, unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life in Jesus, my friend. Go to him, trust him today, no other way. So like I say, friends, go to Jesus. You need him badly. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word. It's offered, as I say, freely to you. No cost, no obligation to you. What of God written, freely offered, freely received. Read and digest. Study, meditate. Read the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Read the words of the Lord Jesus yourself. Repent ye and believe the gospel, he said. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye also. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Like a copy of God's Word, come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious, never dying souls.